It's now time to think outside the box of what we've always known.
I myself will tend my sheep and have them lie down, declares the sovereign Lord.
I think that's a profound turning point in somebody's relationship with God.
And our hope in starting this was that this would become an ever-expanding conversation.
Just two real guys talking about life. That's a nice tagline.
I'm Wayne Jacobson.
And I'm Brad Cummings.
And welcome to another edition of The God Journey. Well, Brad, you come bearing gifts this morning.
I did.
Wow, look at this.
Full-colored illustrated life of Jesus.
Don't you wish you could see it if you're listening to us?
Yeah.
On this audio podcast.
Called A Man Like No Other.
Hot off the presses from somewhere on the other side of the world, huh?
Yeah, they flew them over the ocean.
So we've got...
Dropped them on my head. There's a heavy box.
So we've got six copies here in the mainland?
we have just the few limited run samples.
And the rest are supposed to arrive.
They're on a boat somewhere.
They're on a boat. They're supposed to get here early November, we're hoping. So
first week of November, we should be able to have them. We'll get some pre-orders up.
You've been working pretty hard with the folks in China to get this thing printed right. Are you thrilled with how it looks?
I am absolutely thrilled. I think they are, too. I think they've got a new sample.
Wow.
Full-color spreads, nice vignettes. We have the artist in residence with us.
We do. Murray Whiteman is joining us today on the podcast. Hi, Murray.
Howdy, guys.
Who's not only been fun to work with on this book, but you have quite a story of your own in terms of how God's been dealing with you and your wife, Betsy, and kind of taking you guys on a bit of a journey you weren't expecting in recent years. So,
boy, that is the truth. Walking with the Lord is never quite what they told you when you were a kid.
Yeah.
What'd they tell you?
Well, if you come from my background, which is half Catholic, half Jewish.
Uh-oh. What's that
look
like?
Got a hybrid there.
That's I was telling Wayne earlier, I grew up in a neighborhood that primarily, my Jewish friends, I was obviously a goyim and not a Jew. And to my Christian friends, I was obviously Jewish because my dad was. And so it's like the spiritual realm was kind of like, you're off limits, friend.
No, you got both realms covered.
No, they both...
No, it's both excluded. There's a difference.
Both went...
Both
of them, man.
That's right. I thought you had the California twofer.
No, I had the California get-outer.
Oh, gosh.
Wow.
Well, I'm sorry, Mr. Goyim.
So, you know, it was just... when the Lord started speaking to my heart, it was a strange concept because... He came around the backside and just showed himself to me, and I had tons of questions. I used to be the classic guy that had all these questions about God and how come he allows this to happen and why doesn't this, and I don't like that viewpoint. And I would argue with Christians particularly that were friends, and they couldn't come up with the answers. And so I had these, you know, things. If you can't answer that, then I can't believe. And when God spoke to my heart, he basically ignored all that and said, yes, no, Murray. Hmm. And I said, yes.
Well, that was fortunate.
Yes.
How old were you when all this was happening?
I was 14 and a half when the Lord came to me.
Just a youngin'.
He snuck up behind.
Yeah, he did it in a way I didn't expect. I was woken in the middle of the night with a vision of the second coming of Christ.
Oh,
and I saw,
you just got the Technicolor version.
And I saw the sky explode, and I heard basically in my heart, choose me or not, yes, no.
Whoa. Cut to the chase.
It's right to the chase, baby. There's no playing games.
So let me ask, why did you say yes?
Because it was clearly God making the offer, and I decided I'd rather be on his team.
And if you'd seen the second coming, you want to be on the winning team.
I get all that, but poking in at the interiors of your heart, what was it about that?
It answered a hunger that was there.
Yeah.
I had gone to church several years earlier. I had walked every Sunday miles to go to this little church to hear about him because I was curious.
Miles in the snow, uphill? Both
no, in Hollywood in the summer. There's no uphills. It's just hot. And, you know, I didn't fit there either, but I had questions.
Yeah.
And so there was a seeking in my heart. I just didn't know where to go. And every place I went, I ended up with, well, these are these conditions. And if you don't meet these conditions, you can't know him. And so it's like, but you can't answer my questions. So I'm kind of confused. But when he came to me the night before, I was staying at a friend's house. And she sat me down that evening. And it was my first experience with the conviction of the Holy Spirit. And she started talking about the Lord's coming and final judgment, and I felt this pressure on me. It's like, I got to get out of this room. I didn't want to argue. The words weren't working. I said,
"Were you scared?"
No, I was what I would now call convicted.
Yeah,
I was like, I need out of this room. There was no logical answer to what she's saying. She's babbling, and my mind was going, I just get out. I just had this thought in the back of my mind: get out. Get out, get out. And I don't remember much of the conversation. And I went to the bedroom because we were spending the night. And I was so happy to shut the door. I thought, whew, I got away from that thing. I don't know what that thing was, but I'm away.
And this was the precursor to your
visitation. The Lord waking me in the middle of the night. Ooh. And the wild thing is I went home the next couple of days and everybody that saw me said, "What happened to you?" And I go, "What do you mean what happened to me? You're different. What happened?" And that's the way this walk with the Lord started. It's just
so looking back, what would you answer? I mean, obviously, you may not have had an answer right then, but looking back, what do you think changed?
I'd say our Father in heaven spoke to a lost son and said, "Son, I love you, and I know the way to reach you. And you are blocked by these thoughts and these rationales and you have all this stuff, but I know your heart is hungry and I'm going to speak to you in a way your heart can hear."
It kind of did a leg sweep on all that stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, which through my walk with the Lord has always encouraged me because I have confidence to pray for somebody that I don't have to have the answer to all their questions, but I know who has them. And I also know, I'm just so convinced that he loves us so much, he knows how to speak to our heart. I had four kids, and I learned early as a dad that I could not speak to their hearts in the same way. Each of them was unique, and I needed to learn how to speak to them in the way that they could hear.
Yeah.
And that's what God did for me, and I have that confidence because he's the loving Heavenly Father. He'll do that for others.
So this book has been a long-term dream and desire of yours.
Absolutely. Being a commercial artist for my life, I was always frustrated when I sat down with my kids to read a book about Jesus because they were like bad cartoons and simplified stories. And I'm going like, this just drives me nuts. And I was frustrated that no one could invest enough to do something at the caliber I could do for an album cover or a movie poster or a TV ad. And I thought I would love to be able to show a doorway into the fact that the Bible is not just a storybook. It's real people who really lived. And I thought if I could have panoramas that would force you to look at it, maybe the Holy Spirit could come in and breathe on it. And you'd start saying, there's something here I hadn't thought about, which is how he reached me.
Well, you got a treasure vault of, I mean, hundreds of pictures that you've made and paintings, and they're different. I've never seen this kind of art before because it's not pastels, it's not oils. It's like you're working with digital painting stuff that has a little bit of the realism of a photograph, but not.
And that was intentional. I originally started out with pastels or watercolor, and then being in the entertainment industry, everything needs to be very photographic. And I know that if it was too photographic, it'd be like, is that exactly what they looked like? And is that exactly what Jesus looked like? And is that what Mary looked like? No. But I wanted it realistic enough that you could say, these are people.
Right.
And that my prayer had been that God would somehow touch you, that there's real people who went through this.
Well, let's back up a little bit. Just talk about being an artist in the entertainment industry. So you've been doing that for all your life? Or
I started in high school.
Really?
Doing records and advertising for Capitol Records. Used to walk up to Hollywood and Vine and had a little office that I worked across the street from there.
In high school?
In high school.
Wow. Did you go to college then, or did you just go into work from high school?
I started work in high school, and then I was going to go to college on the side and started, but then I was working 60 to 80, 90 hours a week in the industry, and
What's the need for an education?
Well, and you've worked on some pretty big stuff, right?
Yeah.
What was some of the stuff you worked on that year?
Well, brag a little bit. I know you won't, but we're gonna make you anyways.
Yeah.
Well, it's interesting. Most people thought, oh, you don't do very much, and your industry doesn't make a whole lot of sense. And then I worked on a small little movie project called Star Wars.
Yeah, I've heard of that before.
And that kind of changed things when I did some album covers for that, and then I worked on
some album covers.
For the when they release the film, they come back with soundtracks later.
Yeah.
So I worked on that, and then I worked on...
And this was back in, 75, 76, when no one even heard of Star Wars and knew it was going to be anything.
I worked on the second film and the third film, so they were already established. But then I worked on an Indiana Jones film, and I did some other stuff in industries and worked on TV shows, everything from Silver Spoons, to Chuck Norris.
Wow.
A little bit of everybody.
And some of these album covers, I mean, you've won awards for some of the artwork, work you've done.
I've done awards. I was nominated twice for a Grammy in design.
Wow.
And won some PIA awards and things like that. But
you got some chops.
Yeah.
We think so. We can celebrate you. I've seen the stuff in your living room that I just stare at.
Yeah, me too.
Well, thank you. It's appreciated. I like people, and that's part of the reason I wanted to do this book, because I wanted you to see that they're real people.
When did the germ of this idea come to you? I know you've been painting. You said like 10 years you've been working on these paintings. Was the seed of the idea in your heart?
I think the seed of my idea is my kids were in junior high school, and I started doing at church a lot of things with younger kids, and I tried to be creative. And so I did puppet shows, and the one that changed things around is when I did E.T. and then I did Yoda. And of course, doing Yoda's voice when he explains to them that the true force is Jesus.
Oh, wow. Ooh. Better not let Star Wars people hear about this. There'll be all kinds of copyright infringements.
I did little characters, and I found out we did one time, the Easter Bunny. And somebody said, you have to do it for Easter with the Easter Bunny. And I was just racking my head. I said, I know I can be creative, but this one stumped me. And then all of a sudden I came up with this rather strange idea that the Easter Bunny was locked in the tomb, and he saw Jesus rise from the dead. And so he wanted people to realize how important it was. So he made a deal with some chickens that he could pass out eggs to remind people of what had happened.
Oh, I
there
see.
You go. That's you know, I good. Didn't know that.
Well, and neither did the kids.
That is awesome. I can't wait to my kids.
And breaking out of an egg's like breaking out of the tomb.
That's exactly it. And
that
life
bunny
comes.
Was smart.
And so he hopped around, passing the message. And
so this will date you. How long ago were your kids in junior high school?
20 years.
20 years ago. Okay.
So I thought about it, and there's no to back it, and where's the money come and the time. And so it just kind of kept bed on the shelf. And then as my kids started leaving home, I started a little sketching, and I approached a couple people, and everybody's idea is that's nonsense. No one will ever do that. There's no money for it. No one can do it. And it just wouldn't go away. And so I started some sketching and laying it out, and then messed with it a little longer. And my wife and I talk about it. And the amazing thing is when I actually started working on this full time, Betsy was there. I mean, I don't know about other husbands, but to have a wife that supports you on a project that most people call pie in the sky, and to have her believe in it and support it. And she said, what are you going to do with it when it's done? And I go, print it, I guess.
That's a good idea.
And you did. You printed two copies of it. Yeah, I saw them 2 years ago. Before we get to that, though, how was it growing up in that industry, living through that industry with the passion you had on your heart for Jesus? Was there any conflict, great stories? I mean, what was it like having this passion for Jesus and you working in the entertainment industry doing commercial design?
You ran into a lot of conflicts. You found people that shut the door on you, were upset with you as a Christian. But on the other hand, too, also God opened opportunities to share who he was to you with others. When I first got saved, I had learned a whole mathematical method of sharing Christ. You had these 6 verses or these 12 verses, and I marked on my Bible these ways. And if somebody asked this question, these were the answers you gave them. And I was witnessing on Ventura Boulevard one time, and I was talking to this guy, and my mind went blank. And I had all these systems, and I couldn't remember one of them. And I'm standing there going, uzzah, uzzah. And he's looking at me going, uzzah, uzzah.
Roman, I know the story of Uzzah. Yeah. I know that guy. That's not.
And it's like the Holy Spirit just whispered in my heart, "You don't care about him. You're trying to win a brownie point. You want a merit badge. You want this guy. I care about him. Murray, look at him. Think about him." And it changed the way I started sharing with people, because I didn't want to take them through a progression and convince them that this was it. I wanted their heart touched. So I found in working in the industry, often people would kind of shove me aside. "Oh, Christian, please don't talk about that." But when there was an emergency in their life or a problem, they always sought me out to share and pray with them. And then I've had a couple times, you know, on the back of a giant hotel with a record act, where I might spend 2 or 3 hours talking to them about what God's in your life, what it's really like. And I found incredible interest. So, I think like everybody, the spectrum across the board, from it's all about making money and get the job done to, that silliness, to when people are hungry, if you've been honest about it. For example, when I worked in this large studio, the guys used to have a really coarse sense of humor.
And, no fooling.
You know, and
that's quite a shock.
And the jokes about the wives could get really brutal. Ooh. And I remember one time I was in a group and the guys came over and a guy told a joke and I looked at him and I said, "I don't know how to say this to you, but if you feel that way about your wife, I'm sorry. But my wife is a treasure from God and she loves me and I don't want to hear that kind of nonsense. So please, I want to honor my wife in that." And he gave me a funny look. And I thought, "Oh, now I've done it again." You know, Murray, the guy, and I'd walk into rooms and, you know, they go, "Shh, Murray's coming. Don't say anything." But I found after a while, guys didn't do it out of frustration. They protected me. They started honoring the fact that I honored my wife and they started protecting me. And some of these same guys, when they ran into trouble with life, then they'd come talk to me and say, "How is it that you have a good relationship with your wife?" Because in the entertainment industry, you know, marriages are disposable. And so it became a good platform both ways, you know, and the flack you take is the flack you take. You know, I mean, I lost jobs because I was honest. That's just the reality of it. And then you lose jobs because you're just not the right guy.
Yeah. And as well, you've helped plant some churches. You've been on staff. You've had that part of your life as well. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, several years after I got saved and got out of the service, I joined a group and we became missionaries. And
you're not talking about the morning service, right?
No.
Okay.
Military service.
Military service. And where did you do military service?
I served at Fort Ord and was about to be shipped out to Vietnam. And through some circumstances, I caught functional emphysema and they had to discharge me. But one of the best experiences in my life was going into the military, because when we got off the bus, they took my Bible away. And I was kind of shocked that in America, they take your Bible away. And I remember sitting in the barracks thinking, I'm not sure what's going on in my life, but how in the world do they take my Bible away? And again, that soft voice of Father said, "They can take a book from you, Murray. They can't take me out of your heart."
Well, that's good.
Yeah. And God started changing the way I looked at things. And I came from a background that Jesus was wonderful. I pictured the Heavenly Father more like Zeus with a lightning bolt waiting to fry my ass when I did something wrong.
I didn't see that picture. Whoa.
Fry your what? Yeah. Whoa, watch it, dude. We got young people listening.
Okay.
I didn't see that spread.
It's not in there.
Yeah, that's not in there.
He didn't paint it, I guess.
Okay.
That's too bad.
But I figured I went to Jesus and he would protect me.
You went a little rogue on us for a moment there.
Sorry, guys.
Well, we met him later in life. Yes. Kind of lost the Zeus image of God.
Well, what changed it, my dad was very authoritarian. And so I was like, I got to be careful with God. And so at least I can come to Jesus and pray to him and he can cover me. Well, I was out doing military exercises one time with ammunition and we were playing aggressors and I was shooting a machine gun with blanks. And they send out I think it's called an M80, if I remember correctly. And it's basically an imitation of a howitzer shell going off. And it goes, and then explodes, and there's a very, very big light. And since we were the aggressors running down this road, shooting at guys on both sides, the sergeant warned us, when you hear the scream, shut your eyes. Otherwise, you'll be temporarily blinded. Well, I was shooting an M60 one side, then swinging it to the other with blanks back and forth. and the guy in front of me didn't shut his eyes.
Oh.
And so when the M80 went off, he was temporarily blinded and ran into the machine gun fire. Now, blanks only shoot a small flame a certain distance, but it went right across his face.
Ooh.
And he dropped in the ground on his eyes, spinning in the ground like a squirrel trying to... And a cry went out of my heart. Father. Now, I'd never called God Father in my life. And I just fell to my knees and just weeped out, Father! And shook me on what, man. And the guy stood up. And his face looked like it was salt and peppered, but his eyes were perfect.
Mm.
And I realized God was even there then. But he changed my viewpoint of who he was. Again, no logic, no doctrinal teaching, just the Holy Spirit.
Your defenses.
Yeah, he went, again, right by Murray's defenses and changed my relationship with him. Mm. And
so then you became a pastor?
No.
Aren't you finished snorting?
No.
A little.
No.
Well, that was the question. I was just kind of wondering how we're going to get from shooting some guy in the eyeball to be a pastor. Sounds to me like you're qualified. Yeah.
Well, I became a missionary instead.
Oh, see? That's wrong.
So we went up and started to work, and then it fell apart because of leadership issues that were messed up. And
that again comes as a shock. But.
Yeah, it was really a surprise to me. Because, you know, I was a young believer and I thought, you know, you're serving the Lord and everything must go right. And was surprised when it didn't. Mm. And when egos got involved and situations got messed up. But we've, through the years, just found out how faithful the Lord is. And so we were glad to help start churches and fellowships. Because it just seems the natural thing. You want to be around people that love him and you want to invite other people into that journey. But God is always so good, the way he talks to you, a way that you can hear. I don't know if we have time. I have one pretty strong story that really has shown me how God understands Murray.
Sure, go ahead.
I was driving home from church one night with my kids in the back seat, and my young daughter was there, and it was night. She looked up, and she saw the moon fall in the car. So she's about 7, and she says, Daddy, why does the moon fall in the car? So I decided that I would wisely explain to her spatial relationships and distortion. And
yeah, that's what she wants to hear.
Relativity of the
7-year-old.
Yeah, relativity of the planets.
Einstein's theory. Yeah, sure.
Give me time-spatial dimension, Papa.
So I explained all this, and I'm thinking, I'm doing a pretty good job. And I asked her, is that okay, Bethany? And she went, yes, Daddy. And so I'm driving down the road, you know, sort of polishing my hand on my arm, saying, did a good job. And just before she get home, she goes, Daddy. And I went, what? And she goes, why does the moon fall out of the car?
I was going to say, I was expecting that one.
And I turned around and said to her, honey, because that's what it looks like. And she went, oh, thank you.
Because that's what it looks
like. There you go. He got to the chase because that's what it looks like.
Years later, I was in a real problem area in my life and praying and just seeking the Lord and couldn't make any sense of anything. And I said, God, why are you doing this? I don't understand. And the Holy Spirit just spoke to me, Murray, why does the moon follow the car? And I realized it wasn't that God was trying to hide information from me. It's that I didn't understand all the circumstances. I wasn't up to speed on all this information. He wasn't hiding from me. I just wouldn't understand. And would I trust him like my daughter did? And I thought, isn't that great of the Holy Spirit to speak to you so personally with such a strong example that it just brought a peace to me? And when I come to hard situations that I don't understand, it's not even like he has to say that again. I go, you know what? There's stuff I don't understand.
Yeah.
And it's not that God doesn't love me and Father's not there. I'm just in the back seat of the car and let him drive.
And the moon looks like it's chasing me.
Yeah. I'm safe.
That's all good.
That is really good.
You know what I have appreciated in getting to know you is you don't come across very religious. I mean, I did the Zeus and the, you know, all that.
Yeah. A little bit there.
So there's some reference for that. But no, but you had an absolute passion for people and you've wanted to take your talents and art to try to communicate in some way, shape, or form. That's what captured me with the desire behind this. Give me a little more of, I mean, well, you write something in the dedication, but what is it that was your vision for this?
I wanted having done missionary work and church work and things like that and worked with kids, I wanted something that would reach people in several veins. I wanted you to be able to sit down with your children or your grandchildren and a page or two at a time, look at the life of Jesus and realize these were real situations. People really went through this. Or I was hoping that maybe it'd be a book you could put on a coffee table and somebody was visiting in your house would stop and just flip through it and go, I never thought about him that way. Or just to touch people in a way that they would stop and think a little bit versus just, I've heard that before. I have an expression I talk to my kids about that we tend to read the Bible backwards. And what I mean by that is we know the outcomes. We've heard these stories so much that we read them already knowing the end. So we skip over a lot kind of the trauma and we miss what's really going on there. And I thought if I could stop people long enough that the Holy Spirit could speak to them like he did to me. And I know that if I do an album cover, people will pick it up. I know if I do a trade ad, it's meant to stop you and make you think. So I said, why couldn't I do that about Jesus? And I would love that. I mean, no greater joy for me would be than to find out a parent sat down with their kids. And their kids asked them questions about Jesus, not at church, but between mom and dad. And you said, he's special to me. Why, daddy? Because he spoke to me. How, daddy? And we've been through a hard time and God, how, daddy? We don't do a good job of passing our stories on. We tend to go to an organization or a teaching or a Bible study or whatever, and somebody tells us the story. Our children need to know our story. They need to know God is real in our lives. When I was doing work with men's ministry, I heard a statistic that scared the heck out of me, that if your children are very devout going to church, less than half of them will stay with the Lord. If mom and dad are devout and it's 24/7, the success rate of them walking with the Lord is over 75% to 90%. And that's 24/7. That's not 1 hour. So I wanted something where, I don't know about you, but I'm sure it's the same thing with every parent. Your kids ask why, how, what happened? Well, I wanted them to ask that about Jesus in your life. When you pray, for example, my son, one night my wife had been visiting her family and I was burdened by the Lord and I got, but I was praying for hours in my bedroom. And I guess as Marie's tendency is I can get loud.
No.
Yeah, sorry about that. So all of a sudden the door opens and my son, who's about 12, comes staggering and bleary-eyed. I have woken him in prayer and he goes, oh, it's just you praying again, Daddy, and left. But there was such a comfort in him to know what I was doing.
Right.
And it wasn't like a religious activity. It's just, oh, that's the kind of thing Dad does. So that kind of thing is what I wanted. I wanted my kids to know this isn't something we do because we're supposed to. It's something we do because that's where life comes from. And that's the best thing I can pass on to them. And if somebody can take a look at artwork, I mean, I've done a painting on a wall and somebody goes, oh, I wonder what that person's thinking. And I have one in my home of this girl standing outside a brick wall in a costume and you're not sure what's going on. And everybody comes in and tells me different stories. And I thought, what if I could do that about Jesus? So yeah, people look at it.
And not just for kids. We were sitting in a restaurant working on this book together, three of us, and the mock-up of this cover was kind of sitting on the table, and we noticed waiters and other people walk by the table, stop, pull back, take a look at it, really processing some of what they were seeing. It was just sitting on a table in a restaurant, which was fascinating to me.
And see, that's my hope, is that that's what will happen. That's that cry that and I wanted quality. I know that missionaries in some remote districts will take a couple paintings or drawings of Jesus out to share the gospel. And I thought, what if they could have a hardcover version that would last a while and they could either read what's in it or if they could just show the pictures and talk about the story with them? Wouldn't that be cool?
Absolutely.
Because, you know, I think it's in Exodus 4 when God is talking to Moses and he says, Moses, I want you to go do this. And Moses goes, yeah, right. And then finally, God talks to him a few times.
Is that the Murray translation?
Yeah. Yeah, I have a very straight-up translation about this. Yeah, I believe right. I believe at one point Moses said, you got to be kidding me.
So, boy, mate.
Yeah, all that. And so here God finally says, you're going to go talk to Pharaoh. And he goes, like, yeah, who's right. going to believe me? You know, you got to be kidding me.
Give me a name.
You know, something. And God says to him, what's in your hand? And he goes, I got a staff. And he says, throw it down, and it turns into a snake. And he says, picks it up and turns back. I realize I don't have a staff in my hand. I have a brush. And what if I could do something with a brush that God could anoint and touch people? That would be my heart. So whether you're reading it with your kids, or it, you know, you've wondered about Jesus, or a friend gives it to you as a gift, and you start going through it, and you start going, I hadn't thought about that. That's my hope. If that succeeds, it's been worth all the effort in the dream.
Well, I think there's some fantastic art in here that does that. It evokes a chance to stop and just sort of ponder. And I think that was my excitement of going like, golly, there's some fantastic art here. And then, you know, I think we endeavored to try to put some little vignettes that would go along with it that would just make this man, Christ Jesus, accessible to folks, regardless of where they came from. I mean, I think the biggest challenge is, you know, most people, oh, yeah, I know. And it's like, I don't think we really do. And what I love about this book in particular is I think it really unveils the human side of Jesus in a way that I don't think most people have stopped and pondered.
That's my hope. You guys came up with a title that just made my heart leap, A Man Like No Other. And you know how we often think if you're following the Lord, everything walks together. I never would have expected that we would meet, or that the Lord would open a door, that you guys would partner with me in this, and your writing skills would come to view. But my heart of people seeing Jesus, these vignettes in here that you have written, do that. So it's the double thing of what I hoped for. If it stops and make them look, and then they read something and they realize, I never thought of him that way. Is that the door for the Holy Spirit to come in and say, oh, there's so much more?
Yeah. When Murray and I were living, probably 8-10 miles apart from each other at the time, and had no idea each other existed, and met through a mutual friend who... Yep. I get you already ready to print these pictures. You had these pictures, Dion. You had 300 or 400. How many of these paintings?
I had about 250 pages of paintings.
Yeah, and you'd already had printed out a couple of mock-up books.
Yes,
from a publishing on demand kind of place. And we met for lunch with this mutual friend, and he introduced us, and you had some questions about you were going to self-publish this book, and what did I think, mm-hmm. and some of the process we went through with The Shack and my other titles. And so we had this conversation going on, and I'm looking at these books while we're talking, and they're full-color books, all, you know, the spreads, and I'm thumbing through these things going, man, I love these paintings. And if I remember, I was like 5 or 6 days before Christmas, a couple years ago.
It was, about a couple weeks before Christmas.
Yeah, because I remember saying to you, do you have more of these? And you said, why would you mean? I said, I would like to buy some. Yes. I would give them away as Christmas presents. And you're going, really? And I'm going, yeah. And it wasn't for the writing, because the writing you had at the time inside wasn't bad, because it was scripture, but you had all of the Gospels harmonized in some kind of 1906 these and thous version of scripture, right?
What I had done, I thought... possibly if we harmonize the Gospels, people could get a linear view of how Jesus lived rather than piecemeal. But the only version I could get that was copyright-free is the 1904-6 version of the American Standard, which is pretty antiquated.
Yeah, so I asked that. I remember I
not
said,
quite
so,
as smooth.
What are you hoping this book does for people? And you said, well, I'm hoping people will be drawn into the story of Jesus, and after seeing some of the pictures, really want to read about it. And I'm going, and you think they're going to want to read the 1906 version or 1904 version? And I remember you going, no. And it was a hilarious moment. And I basically said to you, I think you ought to get either take Luke or John, just take one of the Gospels, tell it as a story, and get a contemporary version, the NIV or License the Message or something. And I thought that would be the way to go if the intent was, I want to draw people into the Scriptures. And you came up with, you didn't like either of those ideas.
No.
That was really gracious of you.
No, I wanted something more, but I didn't know what more would look like.
And so I said, well, you can write your own. If you want to write your own stories, you can write your own stories.
Yeah, and I said, let's be real about this.
I didn't know you at the time. I didn't know you couldn't write, man. I had no idea. Yeah.
I mean, you know, I'm an artist, and as an artist, I can also tell stories pretty well.
And a puppeteer, yeah. You're a storyteller. So
storyteller I am, but writer, no. You sit me down and give me a thought. I can make a story out of it. Write new. No. In fact, my wife would be the first one to go, no. So,
and then you asked me if I would consider writing for it.
Yeah, that was kind of a big jump.
Yeah, it was a huge jump. Because I just get done, you know, with the 2 years on the shack and a year or two of distributing the thing, and it eaten our lives. And I've got five books I'm wanting to write that I'm not getting anywhere close to. Brad and I had one we were going to do together 7 years ago that we still have not got back to. And so I was like, I don't think so. And we just kept talking about it. And I thought, well, you know what? Maybe I'll go talk to Brad. We kind of play with the story a little bit. And I don't know. And I'm really kind of...
Yeah, it was not a real positive response.
Not thinking I'm gonna...
Ear wasn't in his best moments right there of seeing the sunshine and frolicking out there.
Yeah, hearing the, seeing the sunshine, it's a process.
Yes. And I'd had enough people go, I don't know about this thing that, you know, I thought, okay, Lord, you know, you'll do what you'll do. I know that was a long shot.
No, but driving over to Brad's, I went to Brad's from there. I called him and said, are you around? I think I might want to come up and stop by for a minute. And you went, sure. And the more I drove, as I was driving over there, I was suddenly getting a sense of, it'd be really fun to tell these stories in a very different way and try and get people beneath the surface of the story, not just in the language they're really used to. And by the time I got to Brad's and kind of showed him, I took your books too. I showed Brad the books, the pictures, and
I said, I'm in.
Yeah, he's a little quicker than I am.
Tigger came about again. Hey, woohoo!
Well, we have something there. We've been called Tigger.
And that, thus it began. And wow, we've had a couple of years working on it, I guess.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. I mean, I went back and looked at those two comp books I showed you, and there's virtually nothing from them in this. But the other hand,
no, there's a few pictures. Come on,
now. Two or three. That's a bit.
There's a few.
Not many. They've all been changed and modified. But the neat thing is that my heart, which you guys caught and added to. Yeah, and that's the amazing part of God in this for me, is that I had this sense that I needed to be doing this, but I never would have thought we'd end up with what we've got, and yet it's more of what my heart was than anything I could have created otherwise, which is kind of cool for me.
Well, I remember the day we're sitting at my dining room table, and you've got individual printouts of all of these paintings that you've done, and you asked us to sit there and rate them single, double, triple home run.
Yeah.
And we're going through your paintings, and Brad and I are well-known art critics the world over. And we're just going, that was a
You really, were really kind that day.
You were gracious, but I'm thinking, wow, I felt that when I'm saying, we're going, what a weird day. I'm sitting there going, love that one, not so much that one. And we're kind of working through what we end up selecting, and then you even painted some more beyond that.
Well, you know,
and there's a couple racy ones in there.
Yeah, there
that
are.
I thought was nice for the controversial age.
Well, there's a couple you let me keep in there.
No, but I think that the thing that I love about what has finally made it in there is I think there's a bunch of moments that would just stop you and go, have you thought of this? Because I think I do. I think we have a tendency to glaze over as if we know, and we've never stopped long enough to frankly be captured. I mean, it's not too dissimilar from God sneaking up and saying, hey, can I show you something you've never seen before that answers questions you didn't quite have anything to grasp with? I think there's some beautiful stuff in here, not just the writing and the pictures, but the way it just comes together going like, you know what? I don't think we have really understood who this guy Jesus is and what makes him so absolutely extraordinary.
And as you said, we've been given this stuff so long we know it. I mean, I talk to people that aren't Christians, and they tell me what it means to be a Christian and what this means and what that means. And they gloss over it. They've heard it so many times. I was talking to somebody recently, and I said, you know, let's look. I'll show you something that's a pretty neat example of the way God works. The Holy Spirit sends, and the Father sends, Gabriel, the archangel, to talk to Mary. Now, that's a pretty amazing event.
I'd say, yeah.
Yeah.
That's
pretty astounding. And so Mary's talking with him, and he says, you're going to have a baby. And she goes, wait a minute, that can't happen. I'm not married. Pretty honest answer. And the angel explains it to her.
That makes total sense.
Right.
Yeah.
And why does the moon follow? Yeah.
you got it. You understand.
Yeah. Oh, the Holy Spirit. Oh, yeah, that just happens.
And so I'm looking at this thing. I go, now, wait a minute. I'm going to slow down here and think about this for a minute. Okay, what were the consequences of having a baby out of wedlock?
Certain ostracism.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you could have been rejected by your family. You could have been thrown out of your village.
your fiance might not have married you.
Your fiance is gone.
Oh, and yeah, it was God.
And if they really didn't like it, they could stone you. And as you said, it's her saying, but mommy, daddy, this was God. So I thought, okay, wait a minute. What's the next logical step? What was so hard for Gabriel of walking around to the next room and, hey, Mom, Dad, a miracle's just happened with your daughter. Wouldn't that have been cool?
Yeah, I might have asked him to come explain that to Joseph and to Mom and Dad.
Well, he actually did. Angel did explain it to Joseph. Yeah,
but Mom, but not till after. Not till later.
So I'm looking at that going, that's the kind of thing we gloss over. Oh, Mary had it so easy. Wait a minute. Walking with the Lord, he gives us direction. He speaks to us, but he doesn't explain the whole path. And there's a lot sometimes, like I said, with poor Mary. I mean, she's amazing to me from that standpoint.
Well, it's almost when you make something religious, you have to sterilize it.
Yes.
And Mary now is, you know, an icon more than she's a real little 14-year-old girl getting pregnant. And I think this helps people really move to that dynamic and be able to look and say, wow, these were real people in real times and real stories. And Jesus, God in the flesh, was among us.
Yes.
To show us what it was like to know the Father and to live in that life.
And that's the key thing that what you guys have written helped bring across. No Father.
K-N-O-W.
K-N-O-W. The first...
Oh, I thought there was more to that sentence. Like, no father can measure up to that father. No father.
Here we go again. They have to be careful what
just
you
help
say.
It. Just help.
Thank
just
you, brother. Give me a high five.
You.
I appreciate
very
that.
It would have been clear probably in the
I saw the
version.
Blake look. I'd wait.
I was waiting for more. It was done.
Well, you know, it's like the first thing that the Holy Spirit opened to me when I was reading scriptures. I was talking to a young guy when I was on the mission field, and he says, what is eternal life? Well, he'd had all these things. Do this, you get eternal life, and do that, you get eternal life. And all of a sudden, I just quoted John 17:3. This is eternal life. I said, Jesus is talking, so don't take my opinion. He's talking. To know Heavenly Father and His Son who He sent. And I said, that word know there is an intimate knowledge of. And even as I was saying it, my heart jumped inside me. I'm going, that is what it's all about.
Yeah.
That is it. Yeah. And I'm like, how did I know that? I go, wait a minute, I don't know the facts about this. How did I know that? Oh, Father, there you are again explaining something to me.
Yeah, like Jesus said to Peter, flesh and blood didn't reveal this to you. This is not your big idea.
Yeah.
Obviously, God spoke to your heart. Well, can you stay over with us? I mean, we're kind of at the end of the time. And
if it works, guys, I'd love to.
Yeah,
thank
let's
you.
Stay over
fun.
And take this conversation up next week.
How's come on,
that?
Tigger.
Woohoo!
Traveling with us on The God Journey. You can be part of the conversation by visiting our website, thegodjourney.com.